Welcome to the Dag Heward Mills podcast. Dag Heward Mills podcast is a broadcast outreach of Dag Heward Mills Ministries, which has the duty to bring you the very best from the vast teaching archive of healing evangelist, best-selling author, and megachurch pastor, Dag Heward Mills. This Saturday's Mackinac message has been taken from the camp Moses and his associates preached to shepherds in the USA in 2008. The message is entitled The Limitations of the Call. God did not measure the Holy Spirit when he gave it to Jesus Christ, whereas we as Christians are called but are limited in comparison to our Lord and personal Savior. As it is only Jesus who has everything required to be the best possible minister, we have received a small measure of the anointing and gifts that he possesses in totality. Today, Bishop Dag will enlighten you on the importance of using the gifts that God has given you to their maximum potential in order to fulfill his call on your life effectively. Be encouraged by the word.
First thing is that Christ has the fullness. All right? It is only Jesus Christ who has everything that is needed. Okay? And I'm going to give you about 8 verses to show that to you. The rest of us have a measure. All right? Christ has everything and the rest of us have something small to work with. Okay? So number one, John chapter 3 verse 34. It says, John chapter 3 verse 34. Are you there? Okay? For he who God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth him not the spirit giveth not the Spirit unto him by measure unto him. Amen. God giveth not the Spirit by measure. In other words, God did not measure the Spirit when he was giving the Spirit to Jesus. By you he measured. The reason why I'm trying to say this is because sometimes we do not understand how we can still be called even though we are so limited. Do you see? Because you can see clearly that you are limited. So is it true that you are called? It's true. Because for you, the thing has been measured. And it explains. Christ has not been given the Spirit by measure. Okay? So you have just got a measure of the Spirit. So that is also something that should always make you ask the question, what do I not have? And then what do I have? Do you see? The most difficult thing I have found to show people is what they don't have. Because you see, we all don't have something. But when you don't have something, you should embrace the fact that you don't have it. If you sit down with somebody and try to explain to him why this is not working because of this or that he's not doing, sometimes they'll even be offended. And it's like they want to leave. It's like, yeah, they don't think, because they don't really believe in me, and you know, they feel I'm not like this, and because of that, this, but I know. Yeah, you're putting me in a box. You get it? So you must know that you are limited. A thing has been measured. Okay? Now, the next one is John chapter 1, verse 16. What does it say? And of his fullness have we all received. Grace for grace. So Christ is full. And of his fullness, we have received a small part of what he is full of. That's how come you are so limited. Do you see? The greatest man of God is greatly limited. The greatest man of God is greatly limited. No matter how great he is. That is why every man of God has orangus. Rebels. Because a rebel thrives on deficiencies and limitations. Disloyal people are looking for something that makes you less than perfect. And they want to capitalize on that thing. If you preach, and you are not as good as whatever, a disloyal person, because you just have a measure. So you are not as somebody else. Do you get it? If you take a great, let's say, a great preacher like T.D. Jakes, he's great in everything, but if he comes to Ghana or Nigeria or some of these places where there are also a lot of people, when he speaks, a lot of people wouldn't understand it, what he's saying. And when he preaches, basically it's African-Americans who come to listen to him. And he speaks to encourage the African-American black community. And beyond that, does he have crusades in India? How about Malawi? How about white people here? So you see that it's great, but up to a point. It's of his fullness, you are giving something from what Christ is full of. Take this little bit and then be with it. Do you understand what I'm saying? And that's why you don't have to be so worried, you get it, about what you can do. And also to try to become something that you are not. I mean, look at me. I preach. I'm also doing a crusade. I'm going to show you a DVD of the crusades very soon. And I don't have white Americans. Jerry is the only white person here. Oh, there's another brother at the back there. Like Benny Hinn was yesterday or 2 days ago, he was in Dick Bernal's church. No, Ron Kenoli's pastor in Jubilee Center there. We preached there just in the evening service, whatever. Did fundraising, people to give $1,000. So hundreds of people gave $1,000 each and different monies and all kinds of things. And it goes from church to church and other supporters. I don't have that. I have you. You get it? That's what I have. That's what the people that I have. And of his fullness, I've received something small. And Benny Hinn also cannot do what I'm doing. He doesn't also have a lot of churches and pastors and he doesn't have all that. No. And the places that I'm going to, he doesn't go there. Yeah. Do you get it? So hey, if you can see what God has given you and then you press it the highest possible of that thing that you have. Because you are not going to be judged because you didn't reach the whole wide world. You are going to be judged because what you were given, you didn't bother to use it. That's what I'm saying. That look, and I'm speaking now to all computer so-called scientists. All of you who are high-tech. Look. You must use your gift. Which I am telling you, that thing has been deleted from me. I don't have it. I don't have it. A few people that I've talked to, I look and I realize I cannot press them on. I don't know why. But if you look at it, I'll tell you. By now, one of you should have developed a system that has a camera in the church. So that when people enter, the camera records who has come. After church, the computer will tell us those who didn't come to church. Yeah. With their addresses and their phone numbers and everything for us to follow them up. There are cameras as small as, and this is an idea that I've talked about for a long time. I've talked to you about it. Yeah, I've talked to different people. And the computer, but they just sit there. Meanwhile, they are employed as programmers and scientists and whatever in high places. When it comes to the church, they say, "Oh, this is very expensive. Is this? Is that?" They give you 17 reasons why. It's not possible. So, I'm just looking at all these things, you know, and I'm saying that people have different gifts. And I tell you, if you can learn, you know, one of the things that happened during when Archbishop was, Dankawena was on the stage, when they were presenting, during her funeral, they presented their works. Because usually when a pastor dies, there's a small ceremony where they hand over the Bible and the collar and different things that relate to the person, the badge or whatever, as a symbolic, the person has finished his or her duty on earth and is gone. So they hand the person's Bible. So I have Bibles now of dead pastors. Pastors who have finished their work. But you see, one of the other things they did was they presented the things that she had done, the works that she had helped make this book, made this, done this, so many, many, many things. Even the film I'm going to show you, she was, and it's her area, her work. So, I think that if you use the little that you've been given, and stop wanting to be, as long as I'm not Billy Graham, I don't see why I shouldn't witness. I'm not Billy Graham. Well, there should be more Billy Grahams who open their mouth and a lot of people are saved. You see, so you don't do what you can do. No, that's not going to get us anywhere. You must realize that of his fullness, something was taken and you received just something out of his fullness. Christ was giving them the whole thing without any measurement. By you, they measured something small and gave it to you. And you need to understand that limitation. Now, Ephesians chapter 1 verse 23. Which says, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. The fullness of him that filleth all in all. Amen. What do you think? Fullness of him. Once again, Christ is the one who has the fullness. Okay, now, Ephesians chapter 3, verse 19. It says, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. Fullness of God. In other words, God is the one who is full. The rest of us are not full. Of the fullness of God, we just have something. So when I look in my ministry, I can see my ministry goes up to here and it's finished. Up to here and it ends. Up to here and it's over. I just don't have the ability to go further. So what I have that God has shown me to do, I'm trying to do with all my heart and with all my strength. What do you think? Somebody once came and asked me when in London, he said, you know, why don't you have, the British people and so on, why don't they come to the church? I just said, look, you know something? I'm going to make you, let you start a church. And then I want you to bring all these British people that you work with in your office, bring them to church. So I gave him a church to start. After some time, I was with him in a car. I asked him,
Why don't you have any white people in your church?
Some people are able. Some people have it. We try to cut out. Don't speak this language, any language in the church. Only English. Sing only these songs. Do this. Try to open. Reach out and whatever. You can't. I mean, we are doing everything, but of His fullness, we have just received something small. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. Till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ Jesus. Once again, you get the feeling Christ is full of something. You get it? And in Colossians chapter 1 verse 19, he says, for it pleased the Father that in Him should dwell all fullness, or in Him all should all fullness dwell, or the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Yes, you see, but I think this is American standard. It says that in Him should all fullness dwell. So it's only Christ who has everything. He's full. I remember when we first started our church in South Africa, Kenya, these countries, I suddenly found out that the people there were responding to us, which was interesting. So we now began to find other nationalities coming. I realized that this is where they are responding. So let's do it. It's going to work. You get it? So you just look at what God has given you, but you only find out what God has given you by working. And that's why I want to encourage all of us here. We are all going to be able to follow God's calling and start churches. All of us here can start a church. You'll be surprised at yourself preaching. And the things that thing you think are holding you back, you'll be surprised that they can't hold you back. When you shake off the demons and you stand on stage, you stand on stage and you start speaking. Hey, how are you paying the devil? What is this you standing here? He has told you lies to imprison you for years, to keep you away from this thing. But finally, God is going to do it. We need to have churches in Los Angeles, San Francisco, Sacramento, and where? Mississippi, San Diego, anywhere there are people, and especially people that are going to listen and open their heart. You have something to give. Okay? And even if you have been a very bad person or whatever, listen, ministry is mercy. Mercy that has been received. Someone said, oh, people know me. And they know you already. They know you already. They know you already. Preaching or not preaching is not going to make any difference. They know you. But gradually they will know you in a different way. With time, you see that they don't remember those things. Yeah. You see that now they know you differently. Don't worry. That's what people are talking about. They're talking about you anyway. Okay? And the people who have time to talk about you, they are worse. Alright? For in Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Colossians chapter 2, verse 9. In Him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Amen. Alright? So the rest of us have just a measure of God's power. Amen. Now in Romans chapter 12, verse 13, it says, for I say through the grace given unto me to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to every man the measure. Just a measure. The measure of faith. So some of you here, you can believe God to be missionaries one day. Some of you can believe God to be lay, because as I'm preaching that you should be pastors, some of you don't have the faith. When I talk to you, look at me and say, Pastor, you don't know me. I don't know the scripture.
I don't know verses. The verses you are reading, I don't know them. You see, some people, I don't know how to talk. Some people have different things. But you see, God is giving you faith. That's why I'm preaching. He's giving you faith. He's giving you faith to believe. You can do it. Just a measure. It's okay. You'll be able to do something for the Lord. I want to relocate you to a place where your gift will be appreciated. Receive the relocation in Jesus' name. Yeah. There's no need of having you around in one place coming to receive the sermon every Sunday. We know when the pastor comes, his favorite person is Abraham. Every time, Abraham or David. God is saying, I'm going to give you a chance to preach beautiful messages. Hey, some of you, you are wild preachers. Oh, it's only that we haven't had the chance to preach. But you are wild preachers. Because God has given you just that little measure. Yeah. And I'm telling you something. If God has called you to be a pastor, a lay pastor, and to pastor 30 people in a town, or to pastor, because if you have 30 people who look up to you, to listen to what you are saying, or 40 people, I'm telling you, and if you like, don't do it and go to heaven. Be there and don't do it and go to heaven. You will see what is going to happen to you. And my judgment and your judgment, I see, is because if I have supposed to do said something, I'm not going to be rewarded because I'm doing more. It looks like more. But you were asked to do 100. You did 60. And everybody was impressed. Meanwhile, just somebody was asked to do 3. And he did 3. So he had 100%. 3 over 3 is 100%. 60 over 100 is 60%. So you actually do better than me. That's how it is. That's why you are rewarded for faithfulness. You are rewarded for faithfulness with the measure you've been given. Not all of you are supposed to be in full-time ministry. Perhaps very few of you are supposed to be in full-time ministry. But you have been given something to do, and that is what you must make sure you do. Amen. Otherwise, it's a shame to have given you that gift. God shouldn't have bothered to endow. And you know what I want to tell you? When you use your gift, it begins to multiply. One of the reasons why it looks so small is because you don't use it. Start using what you have. Did you hear me? I said, start using what you have. And you begin to be surprised at who you really are. Amen. So you have received, amen, a measure. All right? Now, the grace of God is given according to the measure that you have been given. In Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7, let's read it. Unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift. Ephesians chapter 4 verse 7. Because you have a measure, you are given the grace of God according to the size of the gift. So sometimes you look at someone and say, how do you do all these things? How do you do this? 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 And sometimes the person seems to be doing it easily. The reason he's doing it is because he has grace for that. And so I came to announce to you today that anything that God has asked you to do, there will be grace for it. I started a church when I was in the medical school. God gave me grace to have a church and be a medical student. Grace, grace, grace. I was preaching. Huh? When I look back at my medical school times, you know, I realized I did very well in school. It's true. And I was doing all kinds of things. Preaching, done broadcasts, starting church services, prayer meetings, outreaches, crusades in Kolegono. I was a medical student too. Going to Amasaman village for crusades. All kinds of things. And when I was in MB3, the third year, I had a distinction in pathology. A few weeks ago, I was in the mortuary. And I went to the mortuary. I had to be at the mortuary. And as I was there, there was some dead body. They brought a young man, 19 years old. He had killed himself. He had put a gun to his head and shot. His brain was out. I think they wrapped his brain in a shirt. His shirt. Rich man's son, rich from a rich house. You could see from the clothes he was wearing. So there was a lady who came in, a doctor. But I was covered, so I was surprised. She came to me and then she said, "Oh, hello, how are you? I'm happy to meet you." And I was, how could she see me? Because my face was also covered. And then she said, "I'm Dr. So-and-so from so-and-so. This is, you know," she told me about the boy, what had happened. Then she said, "My daughter is in the medical school." I said, Because I was not in a good mood at that time. I was very sad as I was standing there. And she said, "My daughter told me something. She said, she told me that in the history of the medical school, only two people have ever had distinction in pathology, and you are one of them." Wow. I said, Because I didn't know. I've never heard of that. I thought it was something that people have commonly. Yeah. So she was there. I said, "Oh, I didn't know." "Oh, I'm very, very happy to meet you. I'm very happy to meet you." You know, she was saying, yeah. So you see, as I was in the medical, this was a church planter who was making records in the school. Then the next year, that was third year, fourth year, I'm talking about church. I'm doing church work. Grace was given to me. Yeah. There was a prize by Valco for the best two students. And I was going downstairs from my room. My room was R104 and I was coming down. When I got to the stairs, a guy opened the door. He saw me coming. He said, "You have a letter." So, "What letter is that?" He said, "Administration." So my heart, I was wondering, what have I done? When I opened, "So you have won a award, best two, hey, with a lot of money." That's what I used to start my business. grace. Final year, when I was there, the Lord blessed me. When I finished, he wrote another letter to me, saying that you are the best five, and so you don't have to go to a district. You come and work in the hospital. Yeah. Meanwhile, I had no interest in medicine. I was now receiving prizes for something I have lost interest in. Is it not fantastic? Yeah. So that's what I'm trying to say, that if you like, try using the gift that God has given you. He will give you supernatural grace to help you to do what he has asked you to do. And some of you think that if you work for God, it will affect your job. There are some people who are not here. They say, "Oh, if I come, my job, whatever." You'll be surprised. As you try to be a little humble dog, trying to follow all that they say, come here, do this, do working extra hours and all. After they finish, they'll look at you and say, "We are sorry, there's no, it's unfortunate we cannot continue because of the budget and downsizing. So we're sorry we can't, we don't need your services." It seems it has happened to you before. She knows everything. She has seen one before. I was talking to one brother. He worked so hard. So hard. Tried to have an American accent. Tried to have go to an American school. Tried to work 3 a.m., 4 a.m. Finally, they just told him, "We are sorry. We don't have a place for you here." He was so disappointed. You'll be surprised that rather, when you give yourself, God will give grace. and send somebody who will choose you and like you. And in spite of everything that is happening, the person will say that, no, this is a very good person. I think I really like the person and I want to work with that person. Yeah. You'll be surprised. Running around like a little puppy who is doing everything. Right. Coming here, up, down, do this, do that, whatever. Trying to please the people. You'll be surprised that you would rather be chosen to be sacked. Yeah. I've seen it many times. One day, one of our pastors, he had a prophet came to him and told him, said, I've seen a vision about you. He said that your father, he has a lot of property. I saw in a vision that when he died, he didn't leave anything for you. Yeah. That you thought that by doing what he says, following his wishes, you would earn his favor. And in the vision, he died and he didn't leave anything for you. The guy was afraid, but so he decided to be in full-time ministry from that time. Because it was because of his father that he was not working for God. Yeah, because he wanted to please his father. His father says, do this, do this, do this. It's like, he's not going to do that. So when the prophet told him that, he said, this is the reason why I'm following this thing, and I'm not even going to lose it. And when he rather came into full-time ministry and was serving the Lord, you see, his father was now so pleased with him. At a point when his father was ill, his father would call him. He would pray with his father, have communion with him, talk to him, share, oh, my son, who is a priest, is now happy. Is it not wonderful? That's why I say that, look, when God has called you, he will send grace, favor. I remember one sister, she was working in England. I used to ask her, how do you get this job? She said, I don't know. She said, my situation is very strange, even in the immigration, whatever. And I don't even know how they took me. She said that I was working in a law firm, and there is a woman there who just took a liking to me. And she said, this is a good lawyer. And normally, a Ghanaian would not have such a job. But she was now an attorney. She was working, going to court. She was part of the firm's partners or what. I don't know what. So I don't know. This woman just said I was a good person, and that she supported me and backed me and did everything and said everything that day. And I was, and that is how come I'm there. Yeah. You see, in life, a lot of things is by favor, choices. I mean, they will always write the rules, but the rules are always broken from the side. Yeah. They always write how to be promoted, how to go higher, how to make a step forward. But then there's all, and even me, I mean, I'm the head of an organization. I know we have the rules, this. And then we also have the side ones. Yeah. I say, you know, I like you. Come to the top here. That's how it works. That's how life is. May you be favored and may you be chosen in Jesus' name. Yeah. Don't try to suck up to men. Don't try to be a bottom licker. Licking bottoms to make people happy. So that they will be happy with you. No! Decide to please Jesus! Yeah! Decide to please Christ. And you'll be surprised how you rather go higher and higher. Because favor, you see, it's like you see that thing I'm telling you about the Baptist, like the angels were discussing, and said that the Holy Spirit has told the Baptists that these two are elect and they'll be following. So you'll be surprised. The Holy Spirit will now speak to an unbeliever, so that this is a very good asset. Don't lose him. So when you make that, you are going, yeah, you know, we've just decided to raise your salary and to make you a partner or make you a whatever. So, wow. I see somebody going higher. Okay, try to go higher in God, eh? Not just in the world. Okay. All right. Now, Ephesians chapter 4 verse 13. Until we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. God is working on us to raise us up until we can get to that measure. So even though you are called, He's trying to build you up to get to that measurement, if you like, the size of how full Christ is of the Spirit. And that's why our pursuit must be God, His power, His anointing, until we can rise and enjoy a certain fullness of His power, a certain fullness of His glory, a certain fullness of His anointing. Hallelujah. Now, the whole body of Jesus Christ is what is actually going to be filled with the fullness. And in Ephesians chapter 3 verse 9, it says, to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery. Amen. Which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Christ Jesus. Alright? From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted with every joint supplieth, according to the effectual working in the measure of every part, maketh increase of the body unto edifying of itself in love. Plenty words. All that it means is that every part is contributing to make up the increase of the body until we get to the fullness that Christ is. So like with me, you know, I can preach, but if without you, I can't do much. That's how it is. I'm very, very dependent on you. And you are also very dependent on me. You see? So it helps to keep me humble. And also helps to keep you humble. Because I've been giving some, but I haven't been giving everything. I can preach, I can have an idea, but I need somebody to pay for it. I need some people to support. I can have an idea to have a church in America, but I needed Dr. Nosh to open his door to come. He needed to come and pick me from the airport in his 2-door car. He had an old Nissan. Is it brown or black? Black. Small old car. He needed to pick me. First time I landed in America. He said, come home. And he took me to his house. He had one room. And then he had a basement without a window. And he put me in the basement. But I needed the basement. Otherwise, I couldn't come here. I needed that old 2-door car. I needed somebody who had one. Who could come to the airport. When you come to America, the airport, there's no taxi, there's no bus. You can't see your way clearly. If you go to England or any of these other countries, you can see, go here, go here, go. When you come in America, you see all these guys standing around you. You know what's happening. It's very scary. So he needed to carry me in his car to his basement without a window. But I was very grateful for that. And then he gave me a couch to sleep on. Do you see? That's how come we are here. Because I can have an idea. Now, somebody will help me to do what I'm going to do. So all of us together is very important. And that is why constantly the devil is trying to break us up. Break us up. Share us into 3, 4. Go away. Don't stay close. It's a bad idea putting things into our hearts to change our minds. You know, it's always happening because our strength comes from being together and being a family. You know, when Bishop Saki's wife died, I was surprised how people think. But, you know, somebody that had been in the church long ago sent a message that, you know, she's so surprised at what had happened and that, that we have been together all these years. I mean, she has been in different churches, breaking up this, that, but we have been together, that it is only death that could separate us. Yeah. Wow. Somebody who has even left the church, or I mean, was not really in the church, I don't know where, in part of the world. But you see, that's how it should be, that it is death that can part us. Yeah. Death will make us separate. And that is what could separate us. Do you see? That's what brings a certain strength. Yeah. To the ministry and to even your life. Because you are so weak on your own. You see, sometimes many of us are pastoring churches, but when people know that it's Lighthouse Chapel International, the name that is over you, and the fact that for you to be a pastor in the church or for you to be preaching in the church, some authority somewhere who we don't know must have approved of something and verified your status. You get it? Before you are allowed to be there. So it gives you some credibility, which you can never have just being on your own. So you also get some credibility by being part. And constantly the enemy is trying to separate you, because he will lie to you and not let you know what you get by being part. This is how it is. One day, Prophet Baden, he told me he had a vision. He said he was asleep. In fact, he was asleep. And then in the night, he saw himself sleeping. And then Lucifer came to the room. And then opened his chest, the heart, opened it and took something, put it in and closed it and ran away. Hey! And he got up and he was scared. He realized that it's like the devil can put something in your heart to think in a certain way, to have some ideas. Before you realize something that you were flowing with, your heart was working, you were happy, Satan has been able to come into your room, open your heart, put something in and run away. How many realize that Lucifer has come to your bedroom before to put something in your heart and run away? Raise up your hand if you have seen some of that before. Sometimes when I meet my pastors or my people and I realize that Lucifer came into the house to push, so I can see it straight away. I know it. I see that people are offended, people are some way, people are different. You can see. You know, but it is you need me, I need you. We need one another so badly. Because our limitations are so many. You know, we are so limited in what we can do. And that's what I'm trying to show, that there's a limitation to your great calling, to your greatness. And you must accept it and also press for more fullness and more of the grace of God. Amen. Amen. Stand to your feet.
Saved us to show His glory. Saved us to show His love. Saved us to show His love.
Saved us to show His glory.
Saved us to show His love. Saved us to show His glory and His love.
Why did He save me?
Why did He save me? Save me,
so I could be His child forgiven.
Why did He save you?
So we could show His grace and mercy.
Why did He save someone like you?
Take His glory to the nations,
set apart to declare His glorious praise.
Chosen
to radiate His glory and His grace. Once with our hope, His mercy we receive.
Let's show the world
what it means to be redeemed.
Save us to show His glory.
Save us to show His love. Save us to show His glory and His love.
Come on, save us.
Save us to to show His love. Saved us to show His glory and His love.
He saved us. He saved us.
Saved us to show His glory. Saved us to show His love. Saved us to show His glory and His love.
Why did He save me?
Why did He save?
Why? Someone like you,
we could show His grace and mercy.
Why did He save someone like me?
Take His glory to the nations, set apart to declare His glorious praise.
Chosen
to radiate His glory and His grace. Once with our hope, His mercies we receive.
Let's show the world.
Let's show the world what it means to be redeemed.
Hey, come on.
Save us to show His glory. Save us to show His love. Save us to show His glory.
He saved us to show His glory. Come on.
Save us to show His glory. Save us to show His love. Save us to show His glory and His
come
love.
On, sing it one more time. He saved us.
Save us to show His glory. Save us to show His love. Save us to show His glory and His
for the last
love.
Time, He saved me. Come on.
Save us to show His glory.
Come on.
Save to show His love. Save us to show His glory and His love.
Sit down.
God bless you for listening to this message. Visit www.daghewardmills.org today for more audio and video messages, information on upcoming events, and so much more. Make sure you subscribe to this podcast to receive new messages every single day. And remember, God has not given you the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind.